of you are ready. We're going to talk more about empowered. We're going back to what are the gifts. We went through 10 of them so far. And so today we're going to go through some more. There's 9 of them on the list to go through today. Good luck with getting through all of that. Probably won't, but that's okay. I put them down there just in case. And we have probably one more, maybe 2 more weeks of empowered before we swap on and move to something else. But today we're going to get into the section where it talks a little bit about the fivefold ministry. But I want to explain to you in just a minute. We're going to pray in just a second first. But then I want to explain to you the difference between the office and the gift of. So those are 2 different things. And we're going to talk about the difference a little bit. And then we're going to go into some of the gifts that are there and some of the things that are available where it talks about it in the scripture. Maybe point out some practical uses. How many of you know I don't like giving knowledge without trying to give practical uses? How do I use it now? Knowledge does me no good if I don't know how to use it, right? I can have all the knowledge in the world without obedience. Remember, I talked about that scripture before and what God spoke into my life. He's like, you're far more knowledgeable than you are obedient. I'm like, wow, I need to change some things then, huh? Because according to scripture, to know right and not do it is what? Sin. And I don't want to live in that. Right? I want to stay as far away from that as I possibly can, or not as far away from it, but as far away from the appearance. Like, I don't want it to even appear like it's sin in my life. I don't want that. How many of you know, if we want that, we got a lot of work to do, y'all. You and me both, right? But anyway, let's pray for just a second. Dear Heavenly Father, man, today as we get into your word, talking about your Holy Spirit, about the gifts and the offices that are there and what you've given to each and every one of us and how we maneuver and work in our lives, Father God, with what you've given us. I ask that you would help us grow today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us in all truth according to what your word says. Do this now. And then as we go home this week and study, I ask that you would help us to get it even more, Father God. Allow it to become who we are, not just what we know. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to read a scripture to you that we've started off with. And we started off with this one, then we went to a couple other ones for a bit. Now we're going to come back to this one. And it's Paul writing to the Corinthians. What I like about the Corinthian church is there's a lot of people that say that I wish we were more like the New Testament church because they all had it together. Have you read the Bible? Like, most of what he's doing, except for Philippians, where he's encouraging them in joy and thanking them for their gift. All the other books are about, hey, man, you're messing this up. You need to change some stuff, right? That's direct right up our alley, right? But in 1 Corinthians, he starts talking about spiritual gifts because they were using gifts in an incorrect manner. How many of you know every gift that you get, you either have to choose, you're going to use it correctly or incorrectly. Just because you use it incorrectly doesn't mean that you don't have the gift. Y'all with me? Just because you use it incorrectly doesn't mean that you don't have it, you don't possess it. It's not there, right? Just because you have the gift doesn't mean you need to use it right now, right? There are times, right? If you're given, I don't know, a worm farm, bringing it out at lunchtime is not the time to do it at the lunch table. Here, guys, look at my worm farm, right? At dinner table. Like, how many of you would like that? Okay. Well, one of you is like, well, I don't know, man. I really like worm farms, man. Those are cool. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying? Just because I have the gift doesn't mean that I use it every day all the time. There are certain times when we're given a gift to use, and there's an appropriate time to use it and an inappropriate time to use it, right? We go back into the scripture where it talks about tongues and interpretations and different things like that. In the scripture, Paul, in this book, says, hey, there's a right way to use this and an incorrect way to use this. Right now, it's being used incorrect. And what I love about Paul, and I go to this as kind of recaps, though. What I love about Paul is he doesn't say, don't use your gift until you figure it out. He's like, use it so you figure it out, right? But use it in a right way, in a correct manner. And this is why he writes this little block of scripture here that we're talking about. And it's 1 Corinthians 12. And it says this. He says, now concerning spiritual gift, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. What does that mean? Like, they weren't informed, or maybe they were misinformed, right? I don't want you to understand it incorrectly. So I'm going to talk to you about it. It says, verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 4 says this, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. All kinds of different gifts, they all come from the same Spirit, right? There's a variety of service, things that we do, but from the same Lord. There's a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Again, you see the Trinity, what we call the Trinity. Trinity, the word Trinity is not in Scripture. We see the principle of it. That's a word that we've labeled it with, okay? You see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. He says, they're all here. They all have different functions, right? One is a variety of service. One is a variety of activities. And the other is the same Spirit, but a variety of gifts, right? And then it says this, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So who empowers us with them? God, giving us his Holy Spirit. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, every one of us has a manifestation or a gift of the Spirit that God has given to us. For one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, to another utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same God who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So what does that mean? God gives them to us as he wants to give them to us. Now, there is a part in the Scripture where Paul says, desire, earnestly desire the higher gifts, right? One of the things that I don't want to say I don't like something that says in the Bible, but one of the things that I don't like about what it says right there is that we take that, people, and we say, there are a lot higher gifts, my gift's not important. That's not what Paul's saying there, okay? So please don't say, I have this gift, it's not as important as that gift, right? I'm just passing out papers in the front. It's not as important as the people that's singing. I'm just running the soundboard in the back. It's not as important as this. I'm just helping kids. It's not as important as that. Look, if the small gifts don't happen, what we consider or call small gifts don't happen, then the big gifts can't happen, right? They can't. And I like what my dad says. I asked him about it. We were talking about different things, and he says, do you know what the most important gift in the Word of God is? No, the one God's given you to use at this moment. At this moment. The one that God has given you to use at this moment. Whether it's helping, whether it's serving, whether it's, man, whether it's, I saw a guy, a lady called at the store. She was out at Publix this morning while I was picking up donuts. A lady called, like, hey, I need somebody to go out and take a lady, one of those little buggies. She's in a handicapped spot. A guy that didn't work there jumped on one and took it out. He didn't have to do that. It's not his job, but he said, this is an area that I can help. This is a gift that I can give. We're going to talk about that gift in a little bit when we get down towards the bottom, but one of the things that we definitely confuse, because we're going to start talking about apostleship, evangelism, shepherding, pastoring, teaching, and leading, as you guys can see in your notes right here, and one of the things that we get mixed up is that we mistake gift and office for being the same thing, and they're not. They're not. They're totally different. And I'm gonna start reading. You guys ready? Right? Spiritual gifts and church offices are not the same thing. The Scripture differentiates between the two offices, the church offices and spiritual gifts in some of these scriptures. The first one I'm gonna talk to you about is those that hold offices are ordained or based on specific qualifications. So the office in a bad way to say it, an office is earned, not given by God, right? And let me explain what I mean, right? I was not the pastor here at Victory Church until Victory Church made me the pastor here, right? You understand? Now, even though I have the giftings of a pastor, if I'm not in an office of the pastor, doesn't mean I don't have the gifts. So, and it's hard to say because you could say you can't be in the office without the gifts, but there are a lot of pastors that are pastors that aren't pastors, right? But they were put in that place. But who are they put in that place by? By man. We put you in this office. Now, understanding these offices are given to us by God, So please I'm not saying these offices are bad, but I'm saying the way that we come into those offices are people put us in that place, right? Think this thought. In order for me to speak into your life, you have to give me a place to speak to, right? You have to say, okay, you are my pastor, and I want you to speak into my life as a pastor, right? Not everybody gives me that place, right? Some people are like, I know you're a pastor, but you're not my pastor. Or I know you're a pastor and I come to your church, but we got a wall here between us, right? This is I get what you do, but and I'm glad you do it, but just not for me, okay? There's that happens, and that's okay. But doesn't mean that I'm not given the gifts of a pastor. There are a lot of people who have the gifts of a pastor that aren't pastoring. Right? Whether there's not a place for them or whether God's called them to a different season in their life. How many of you know we have seasons in our lives? I will not always be a pastor. My father, although we still call him Pastor Cox, it's kind of hard for me to call him Pastor Cox because it's dad, you know? But it is what it is. You know, I still call him that. I call him Papu just because I do. Anyway, I know that's weird. This is what it is. To some people, listen, this is important. To some people, he will always be their pastor, which means they don't allow other people to fill that place, even though he at this moment is not a pastor in the office of. Does that make sense? Okay. If we look in the scripture in the book of Acts 6:3, this is what Paul says. Or no, excuse me, not Paul. Paul's not there at this time. This is what the apostles say, Peter and James, I believe. He says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. We'll give them this office to rest in. Does that make sense? Acts 14:23. It says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to have the Lord in whom they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So, who put them in that office? The men. They put elders. They put leaders. They put people in that position. Now, I'm sure, and I know for a fact that they prayed to God and said, "God, is this who you would have us put in this place?" You know, before I came here as pastor, the leadership of this church got together and they prayed. They said, here we have the list. I'm glad it was a short list. I might not have made the cut then, huh? Yeah. Anyway, they said, there's a list. And we prayed about it. And this is what we feel good about. This is where we feel God is leading us, right? Now, God had already called me to be a pastor years ago, right? Years before I came here. I told you guys a story. We were at a place. God spoke to me. We sat down and prayed. If you haven't heard that story, come back and tell me. I'm not going to take up time with that one now. It's an amazing story, even though I'm kind of biased because it's my story. But God called me to be a pastor then. But do you know what? At that point, I didn't have all the gifts that I needed to fill the office. Does that make sense? I didn't have the fruit to be there. Again, office and gifting's different. 1 Timothy 3:13. I'm not going to read it all. I want you to go home and read this one, right? Write it on your notes. There's pens in the back of the seats. If not, borrow your neighbor's. It says 1 Timothy 3:1-13. He talks to Timothy because he's overseeing the church, and he gives him qualifications on how to pick people to be in the offices. One of the things that you see is these guys had gifts in their lives that worked with the office. Does that make sense? It worked with the office. Then we get down to, then he talks about overseers here to Timothy. He talks about deacons, what they should and shouldn't do, what they should, the fruit that they should have in their life, qualifications. Titus 1:5-9. Look that up this week. Titus 1:5-9. I'm not going to read it all. It's the same principle. It talks about stewarding and being able to, it must hold firm to trustworthy word as taught. They must be able to give instruction and sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. How many of you know, as an overseer, as someone that's standing in a position in an office, they need to be able to do that? They need to be able to hear the word that's coming from people, the fruit that's coming out of people's lives, and say, this belongs or this doesn't belong. You know, as a pastor here, I believe God's called me to make sure that whatever comes from this place right here is of his word and not just some guy that comes in and wants to say something because he thinks that's what God gave him. Look, so God, I'm going to tell you something in a minute. about an apostle, right? And I believe that God showed me something, and I read something in a study, and I saw it. But do you know what? Then I went and talked to people who were smarter than me, that had been doing this a lot longer than me. This is my dad, right? I go talk to him, and I ask him about it, and he says, hold on, wait, let's look at it like this. So just because I believe that something is correct that I've been given doesn't mean that it is. I have to do what they talk about the Bereans doing, go into the scripture and make sure that it lines up with scripture. Some, you know, there's a lot of stuff that sounds godly, but it's not. There's a lot of stuff that sounds really, really good, but it's not in the Bible. Doesn't mean it's bad, but it means that I don't form my life on that principle, as thus saith the Lord. Right? So, coming back in, we need to have this. Now, spiritual gifts, however, are given according to the will of the Holy Spirit, and they're without stated qualifications. He puts gifts in my life that I haven't worked for or earned, if that makes sense. He gives me the gift of, well, I don't want to use that one I've already used. He gives me the gift of faith. That's an amazing gift. Did you know that was over and above? That's an over and above faith. We all have a little faith, but some people have been given a lot of faith. And you see them. You see what happens in their life, right? Like, man, I wish I had that faith. Well, keep walking. Keep believing. Keep getting in your word, man. Ask the Holy Spirit for these things. So these are things that are given without qualifications. Ephesians 4:7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ. Romans 12:6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in portion to our faith. And then it keeps on going on in Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, all these are empowered by the same Spirit who apportions to each one of them individually as he wills. So it's not an earned, it's not a, I have these things in my life so I can stand in this position. This is him saying, hey, I want you to have this. I want you to be able to use this here. Again, you can't stand in, well, again, you can, it doesn't work well. You can't be in the office without the gifts. If you are, the office doesn't work right. But you can have the gifts and not be in the office. You can have the gifts and never be in the office, right? You can have the gifts and never, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And then 1 Corinthians 12:28. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. So there's a crucial difference between the gift and the office. They're not the same. The spiritual gift, whether it is the gift of being an apostle or whatever gift it is, it's given through God's grace by his choice. Again, the word, the Greek word for grace is charis, which is part of the word charisma, which means spiritual gift. That's what it means. How many of you are like, man, he's got charisma? Spiritual gift is what they're saying. All gifts are given by grace. It's like your salvation. You can't earn it. It's a gift given to you. Now, the gifts, while the gift is received by the grace of God, the office is received through works, like we talked about a few minutes ago. The office is not given to us by God. It is conferred on us by people. So a key indicator in conferring upon someone the office of the apostle is the fruit of the gift. Does he have the fruit in his life of being an apostle? If he doesn't, we don't give him that position, right? Okay, I'm gonna move on quick. The office becomes a public affirmation, and the individual is recognized as having the gifts and that they are authorized to exercise that gift in the body of Christ. So what happens? When I became pastor here, you guys said, hey, what the leadership did, they said, hey, we see these gifts in you. We want you to use them and exercise them here. And we give you the authority or the place to be able to do that, right? That's the difference between an office and a gift. Are we clear as mud right now? You guys got it? Okay, so now we're going to go on to some of these because these, what we're talking about today is not the office of, it is the gift of. This is what we're talking about, gifts, right? Apostleship, again, 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has placed these in church, the church. First apostles, then second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing various kinds of tongues. 2 Corinthians 8:23. As for Titus, he is my partner, co-worker, serving you. As for our brothers, they are the messengers of the church, the glory of Christ. So when I read that, you say, what does that have to do with apostle? You have to understand what the definition of apostle is. The literal meaning of it is to be sent with a message. An apostle is to be sent with a message, right? The divine gift of apostleship is an enablement given to a proven messenger sent forth from the local church to assist in new works or edification of existing churches. So an apostle is one who goes oversees different things, right? How many of you know there are a lot of people that don't sit in the place of the office, there you go, of the apostle that work as in the gift of apostleship. They're able to go and they do different things. And one of the things that I see this is in, and this is one of the questions that I talk to my father about, because we don't have a lot of people called apostles. Like you belong to certain churches and they have apostles, right, today. But one of the people that we do see that do the giftings of an apostle is a missionary. So I have some friends that are in Kenya, Africa. They live over there half of the year, as long as they can before they have to come back. They're raising their kids over there. They go over there. I'm praying, and hopefully one day you'll get to meet them, because they're an amazing couple. And they've come from my church back in Louisiana. So it's not just like some missionary that I've seen. They grew up in the church. Well, one of them did. She grew up in the church, and then they met. That doesn't matter. They go over there, and they teach people, and they send them back and help them establish churches that they go back and check on and see and make sure things are working smoothly. What is that? What is that the gift of? Apostleship. It's taking the message, it's going to a place, establishing it, and then helping it build other churches, and allowing God to use them in that. Now, we don't call them apostles, we call them missionaries. But do you know the definition of a missionary? It means the same thing as apostle. It means the sent one is what missionary means. So if you put those two together, they don't hold the office of apostle, because we don't call them that, we haven't put them there, but they're doing the work of an apostle. They're using the gifts of an apostle. You see what I'm talking about, the difference between the two? Some of us have been given the gift to be able to go around and to help build and establish and start and then help to oversee things happen. That's the gift that is given to some. The next gift is evangelism. It's different than being an evangelist. So I'm going to use one of our own, and I hope you don't mind, because I don't think you will, but we have somebody in this church that has the gift of evangelism, 100%. And every time I say, hey, man, would you preach? He's like, man, I'm going with the gospel, right? Evangelism, spreading the good news. That's what it is. He has that gift. Now, he doesn't travel as an evangelist. It's Aaron, y'all. It's Aaron, right? If you notice, every time he starts talking about, what does he talk about? How good God is, how you need him. The good news, right? Now, he has that gift. He doesn't hold the office, but he's given him that gift. He may never hold that office to travel and go to different places and evangelize, what we call an evangelist, hold the office of, but that's a gift he's been given, amen? And you can see it without a doubt, right? There's some that again, according to the scripture, he gave some personally, apostles, prophets, some evangelists, that's in there. So the literal meaning of evangelist is to bring good news. That's what an evangelist does. Look, we are all called to evangelize. Every single one of us. Like, how do you say that? Because he said, go, preach the gospel, share. We've each been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? I'm bringing the good news that Jesus died so you can come to him. That's what it is. So each and every one of us has been given a little bit of that gift, or he wouldn't tell us to go use it. I'm trying to think of a good excuse. I know exactly what to do, but I don't know how to say it. It's like me telling Jim to go do something that he doesn't have the tools for. All right, go do it, Jim, now. Chop, chop, right? He's like, but I need that. No, 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 no. You just go do it. Would God do that to us? One of the things that we understand is God doesn't set us up to fail. If you look in the scripture, every person that he sent out to do something, most of them, what does he tell them? Like Moses, what's in your hand? Like, how am I going to do this? What do you have in your hand, Moses? Like, what did I already give you, right? He's already given us the tools. Now, we may not know how to operate them correctly yet. That's why it's important that we use the gifts that we've been given. But when David went to fight Goliath, he said, I can't use all that junk. This is what God gave me, this sling and these little rocks. Like, how are you going to fight this guy? Because God's going to, he wouldn't have called me to do it if he wasn't going to help me with it, right? All of us have this gift. So look, please don't let the enemy tell you that you don't have it and that you can't use it. He's like, well, I don't know how to use it right. Well, again, Paul didn't say stop using it because you don't know how to use it. The only way you get better at something is what? By doing it. And then you get amazing. The only way you don't get better at doing it is if you don't use it. Case in point. I really wanted to learn how to play the bass. I've told some of y'all this before. I think I've done it from the thing. I really wanted to learn how to play bass, so I bought a bass. And I had it at my house. And it was probably there, what, like a year and a half, babe? Maybe 2 years? And it just sat in the corner. It was all pretty. I had dust off every now and then, so it looked like I did something with it. And do you know what? I never got better at that bass. It was there, but I never got better at it. And it's not the bass's fault. Do you know how I know that? Because we were starting a youth band at the time, the band that came here and played that time, and the bass player that was here with that, he was a guitar player. He wasn't a bass player. He was just learning guitar. His name's Ben, one of my really good, he's the people we go stay with when we go up to Louisiana all the time. They're still our family, right? He was like, I don't know how to play the bass, but I know we need a bass player, so I'll do it, man. He's like, but I don't have a bass. So I took it, and I gave it to him. I'm like, I don't know, it don't work very good for me, man. You know, I don't know how to... Do you know what? He is sick on the bass right now. He plays bass better than anybody I've ever seen, right? Why is he able to do that? Because he used the gift. It was given, and he said, I'm not going to let it sit up in the corner. I'm going to use it, even though right now it's not very good. It's going to get better. We need to look at that with the gift, especially of evangelism, sharing the good news. Well, it's kind of awkward when I do it. If you let that stop you right now, the enemy will throw that in your face every time God says, hey, I want you to share something. The enemy will be like, well, you're going to be awkward. Shouldn't do it. I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't do it. It's going to be awkward. That's what happens. Do you know the enemy? I'm just going to stop. I'm covering it up right now. Just because you can say it doesn't mean that you should, right? Remember that? I'm listening to my own messages. So, evangelism. We've all been given that. It is the gift of evangelism is the divine enablement to effectively communicate the gospel to unbelievers. Listen. This is what I like about this one. The way this is put. It is not just effectively communicating the gospel to unbelievers, but it's so they respond in faith and move towards discipleship. So it's not just about me saying, hey, Jesus loves you, all right, I'm out, right? It is about me saying, hey, Jesus loves you, he's called you, acceptance comes, now what do I do? Here, let me take you with me, right? If I can't disciple you, if I can't really disciple you because I'm still learning and growing, I'm going to take you somewhere where you can learn. I'm going to introduce you to some people that can do this because this is not my gift. Like, I'm just starting to be able to tell you about Jesus, and he loves you. So let's go to somebody else, right? That's acceptable. Don't do that always, though. What you need to do, I'm gonna pry for a minute. What you need to do is when you take them to somebody that's going to help to disciple them, you need to sit there and listen to what they say so the next time when it comes up, you know what to say. You know what to do. And you learn just as much as the person that you brought. That's just a bonus. Do you like it? Good. We're going to move on to the next one. Shepherding and pastoring, right? Again, he gave to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the training. There's the whole purpose behind it. For the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith. So in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing into mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So this is what we're supposed to do with these gifts, right? And I know I'm kind of throwing them all in there together with this, but this is one of the things that goes with shepherding and pastoring. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, to stand in the office of a pastor. But there are some people who have the gifts who people look to and put in that place in their life, right? They allow them to have that place to speak into their life. That's what I call earning the right. ETR, earn the right, right? My pastor used to say that all the time. Again, before they care what you know, they got to know that you care, right? This has nothing to do with this, but I'm just going to tell you this because it freed me, right? And I don't want you to take it in a derogatory manner, but this is it came from a Western movie. I told the guys about this yesterday. It came from a Western movie, and Doc Holliday is the one that said it. So this might help some of y'all. It says, before I can be offended, I must first value your opinion. Right? It's not thus says the Lord, okay? That doesn't come from the scripture. But some of us are getting very offended at things we need to not be offended of because the opinion of the person, we don't need to seek for it. Right? We need to look for God. I don't know why I just said that because it's not here and it doesn't even fit, but I just, somebody needed it. So there you go. Maybe it was me. So what happens is we are put in these places so that we're given these gifts so that we can help lead other people. What does a shepherd do? I'm going to put him on the spot here. Somebody came to me with a message that they want to preach, and they say it's going to do it sometime, and he's going to do it. He just doesn't know it. I see him. And I ain't going to say who he is, but I see him. He's going to do it sometime. It's a good one. It's about what a shepherd does. What a shepherd does. What happens. They lead. They take care of. They protect. How many of you know people that don't stand in the office of a pastor, but they protect everyone that's around them in a godly manner? Right? How many of you know they lead them in the way that they should go, but they're not a pastor? Right? We're given that position to help lead and to guide and to carry people through. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3 says, therefore, as a fellow elder and witness to me, to the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will, not for the money, but eagerly, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Do you know, I hope and pray I don't mess this up. Do you know that you should be able to look at my life and not be able to find faults? Now, don't look real careful and stand back really far away, right? Because I have faults, we all have faults, right? We're not perfected. But I hold on tight to what James says is not everybody should be teachers or pastors. Not everyone should be that because they're held to a higher standard. I'm going to be held to a higher standard, more accountable than you guys, I believe. Because I'm not only accountable for me, I'm accountable for what I say and what I present to you and what I give to you. What I tell you, thus saith the Lord. That's why y'all don't hear me a lot of times say, thus saith the Lord. You might, like, this is the Toby translation. You might hear that sometimes, right? This is what I believe that it says, right? But I want you to get in your word and find it yourself. Again, I can't stress that enough. I want you to get into the word, take these notes and these things that I'm giving you and go home and read them and look at them and make sure that what I'm saying is right. Read before and after the verse that I'm using. I try to do that a lot. I try to use, like, 6 verses and really only needed one of them. But I want you to see the context of what it's been given in, right? There are some people who've been given this gift to be able to do that may never stand in the office of a pastor. Doesn't mean they haven't been given the gifts of a pastor, the heart of a pastor, right? Do you know in the scripture, and I don't have this in my notes, so I don't know where it's at. I know Jesus is talking about it, but they're talking about about a hireling, about somebody who comes and is just here for the money. And don't really care about the people. But when things get difficult, they pack up and they take off, right? Do you know that a true pastor or a true shepherd will do what Jesus did? And that's who we're supposed to model being a shepherd after, would lay down his life for the sheep, lay down his life for the people, right? It quote one of my kids' favorite songs. He says, I'll take a bullet for you, I'll take a bullet for you, but there's no bullets coming through, so right now I'm a hero, right? That's paraphrasing, that's a Toby translation. But if bullets came through, y'all might be on your own, you know, I don't know. I don't ever want to be that person, right? I want to say, hey, I'm going to be here. And when it gets tough, I still want to be here, right? Now, I hope I never have to find that out. Yeah. Hope I never have to be in that position, but I want to think that I could. And y'all know some people in your life that are not pastors. They may not even be saved, but they'll lay their life down for you. Do you know we have military that do that? First responders that do that on a daily basis? Just a thought. I'm not going to read that part. To shepherd a flock is what the literal meaning of shepherding is. The gift of shepherding is the divine enablement to nurture, care, and guide people towards ongoing spiritual maturity and becoming like Christ, right? So it is the position of the pastor and those who have the gift to share Christ, to love people, to care for people, and to lead them to Christ, guide them to Christ. Say, oh, no, let's come back this way in a loving manner, right? Do you know the shepherd staff with the hook? Do you know why the hook's there? Just so it looks cool when they walk down the thing? No, it's so they can grab the sheep and pull it. Like, oh, no, we're coming this way, right? It's so if a sheep falls down, they can reach down and grab it and pull it up. It's used, not used to beat them. It's not used to beat them. It's used to help protect them and to help guide them. That's the whole purpose in the staff. Maybe we'll do that one day. But there are so many people that God has given this gift that never will stand in the office of a pastor or a shepherd. And then there's the next thing. Did I pass it? Teaching. The gift of teaching. It means to instruct. The gift of teaching is the divine enablement to understand, clearly explain, and to imply the word of God, causing greater Christ-likeness in the lives of the listeners, right? Now, this is used in a biblical sense, but do you know how many teachers we have in here that take the knowledge and do everything they can to describe it and to put it to the kids or the people that they're teaching in a way that they can understand it and use it correctly and make them, for secular terms, a better person, right? But do you know those gifts can be used here as well? And they are. They are. Most of the teachers that are in here are teaching something. I'm just being honest. Or a part of something that's helping to teach, like VBS. Right? When we do stuff like that with the kids, you know the first people I call? Kendra, Christy, and Gail, now that you guys are part of it. We want to talk to people, coach. Those are the people that we turn to because that's what they do. That's a gift they've been given. And we want to be able to use that here as well as in what he's given to provide for their families. Amen? How many of you know gifts can be used correctly and not be used in the service of the church? Do you want to know where we get that from? And it was preached a whole lot. Workplace ministry, right? The gift that you've been given, the place that you've been given. Be like, well, all I do is construction. You know what? That's your door to be able to put up some trim and talk to people about how good God is. How amazing it is that he has taught us to take nothing and build something with it, right? Some people are artists when they do carpentry, when they do the jobs that they do, the things that they do. Right? People building cars. Oh, I don't envy y'all at all. Like, not at all. I can't get in them little places and I hit my knuckles and it's not fun. But it's a gift that they've been given, right? And they use it. We can use those gifts all over. We can teach people. Listen, that is one of the things that you see all throughout the scripture. In the Old Testament, it tells the old people, older people, to train the young ones. To tell them the stories about God, to tell them about the ways that were and how God provided in the past. Do you know one of the ways that we fall down? Not teaching our kids the Bible correctly and not starting them very, very young and teaching them and instilling in them the right way to do things. Look, I'm gonna be real with y'all. I was not ever mean to my kids, but when they were very, very young, before they could even talk, I would light them up if they did something they weren't supposed to do. Just going to be real. Somebody will be like, well, that's wrong. Look, I never did it out of anger. Never once. You ask my wife. I never once did it out of anger. I would always make them go sit down somewhere, and I would think about it for a while and get my bearings before I even dealt with anything. But I would give them spankings when they were this big. So the other day, I told you all this before, but the other day we were at the neurologist's office, and the neurologist looked at my daughter looked at me and said, your girls are so well-behaved. And Sydney piped up like this. She said, that's because he beats us if we're not. I said, wait, girl, hold on, man. And that neurologist turned and looked at me like that. Like, I said, whoa, when's the last time you got a spanking? She's like, it's been a couple of years. I'm like, okay, then. Right? I don't do that. And we play like that all the time, right? Do you know what I used to? Yeah, you're right. You know what I used to do? I used to mess with them. I would sing to him before I gave him a spanking. And maybe it just to help me, but I was like, you light up my life. Anyway, so totally different, wrong kind of song, but that's what I was saying. And anyway, so that, and I'm not saying that like spank your kid. I'm not saying that's a whole other thing, right? What I'm saying is if you teach them when they are very, very young, when they're in the process of growing, they already understand it. If you wait until they're teenagers, you can hang it up. I mean, God can do anything. He can. And I'm praying for it too, right? And that I'm not being funny about it when I say I'm praying for it too. But you're going to have a much harder uphill battle that you don't need to have, right? You know how it works? You know how it works in adults? So we used to, we used to hire in guys to do work at our window company that had no clue how to do windows, right? He's like, well, that's not. No, we would train them ourselves. But why do we do that? Because we wanted it done the way that we wanted it done, not how my sister's cousin's uncle's nephew taught me, right? The way I got taught so many years ago that now all the law, all the rules and the inspections that you have to pass are totally different, right? Of course, Louisiana didn't have no. They don't have that. But anyway, the inspection is like that, only on certain stuff. But we would take them and teach them the way we wanted it done so they didn't carry over other stuff into it and want to do it this way. Now, there sometimes is wisdom in experience. Sometimes it's a detriment, right? And teaching people at any age is a gift. To be able to take something and present it to someone and them understand it and understand how to apply it and be able to walk in it, right? Now, in the church, in the spirit, the gift that the Spirit gives us, how many of you know if he's giving you the gift and it works in the physical, it'll also work in the spiritual? I'm going to say it again because y'all didn't understand it, apparently, because you didn't say nothing. He gives you the gift in the physical, it works in the spiritual. Okay, that's better. There you go. Sorry. I just like that sometimes. It allows us to train people, to show people. And you know what? It doesn't have to just be scripture. Do you know how many people watch your life? And you teach them by never saying a word. Anyway, 15. What time is it? I'm going to stop. I got 15. So next week we'll do 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Because we only got through 4 this week, so hopefully we'll make it through 5. How many of you know God has given you a gift? Come on back up, y'all. God has given you a gift. How many of you know God has given you a gift? Put your hand up. How many of you want to know what that gift is? This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now, and then we're going to sing. Ready? Dear Heavenly Father, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I ask that everything that we get, every gift, everything we receive from you, we receive by faith. And I ask today that you would allow us all to receive the gift of your Son again. Whether we've received it before, whether we're walking in it, Father God, allow us to take this moment right now and turn back around and look at you, focus on you and say, God, how can I be more like your Son? God, those of us that have never accepted you, your Son, I ask that you would allow them to do it now. Allow them to understand it's a gift. They can't earn it. They can't be good enough for it. But also allow us to understand, all of us, that it's not just about having the gift. It's about accessing it and using it and walking in that gift, Father God. That let us not put you in the corner and dust you off every now and then. Allow that gift not to go without changing our life, without making us who you created us to be, Father. Help us to work in it and walk towards you, having already been given the gift, Father God. Help us use it to glorify you. I ask that those of us who don't know what our gifts are and how to use those gifts, God, I ask that you would show us now. Give us opportunities to use them. Give us opportunities to grow in them. I ask that you would surround us with people who operate in the gifts that we've been given and will teach us and help us learn and help us grow into what you've called us to be, given us to be, what you've placed in our hands. Help us be faithful with it. We ask as we get ready to go out these doors after we sing, Father God, I ask that you would let us find opportunities to share your love, grace, and mercy. Find people to pour into. Find ways to spread the good news, to use the gift of evangelism, even though we're not called to be evangelists in the office, Father God. I ask that you would help us find ways to reach this world for you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Stand to your feet.